Welcome to another edition of the Big Fat Farm Show, where we talk about anything farm, fresh, and food related. I'm Sarah Severson, your host, and today we have the pleasure of having in the studio with us Angie Sock, farmer and owner of Three Dog Night Farm. Welcome to the show, Angie.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. So give us a layout of Three Dog Night Farm. What's the acreage, what you're growing there?
The acreage right now, it's 13 and a half acres. It's not all planted. We have about an acre and a half of hay that we harvest. We usually get two cuttings on that right now. I've got a pretty large garden in the front of the old farmhouse. And then within the last 3 years, we've put up a hoop house structure and have been keeping that planted all year round, actually.
And explain to folks that might not know what a hoop house is.
It's a structure it's basically, you know, metal framed, covered in plastic. And then inside you could do, you know, almost anything. We have, four or five beds inside. It's our structure 70 feet long, so it's quite big. It's actually bigger than our house. What it allows you to do is extend the growing season. And in our case, we've been really fortunate with the last, you know, couple of mild winters too, that I've been growing certain crops, all through the winter.
Oh, great. And how many years have you been farming this place?
We've owned the farm for just about 8 years. It was an abandoned farm for about 12 years. It's the old Alma Copenhafer farm out on Road 25. So we joke that the house probably should have been tore down. But my husband, Mike, has been bringing the house and the farm back to life. So while working on the land, we've also been working on the old farmhouse too. So it's kind of been hard to split our time on that. So it's been about 8 years, and we're just finally seeing some really good growth in it this year. So,
and what was the impetus for buying a farm?
Stupidity? No, I don't know. I'm joking.
You guys come from agricultural family? We didn't think about it. We just bought it.
I know. We just did. We liked the trees. actually, I grew up in a city in Madison. We're both from Wisconsin. So my mom grew up on a small farm. So she always had a garden in her backyard. And I mean, you know, you just have those childhood memories. And I remember the corn and the tomatoes and really hating doing all that work, but loving the food. And Mike grew up in northern Wisconsin, where it's a lot of dairy farming. So he did dairy farming, tree farming, and then his grandparents had a farm in South Dakota where he would spend his summers. So he has had much more farm experience than I had. And he actually went to school initially for agricultural mechanics, so he has that background then too. So,
okay, great. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We're talking with Angie Sock today of Three Dog Night Farm. So tell us a little bit about you guys are full-time farmers on the land. Is that true?
No, we are actually full-time teachers. It works out well because we teach during the year and we still do farm, you know, like I said, off what most people might say off season. But so for us, that month of June is really stressful because we're just getting done with our full-time jobs and then trying to get caught up, you know, whereas a lot of other farmers have had all spring to plant. You know, June is a good month for them. And for us, it's actually really stressful because we feel like we're about 5 weeks behind. So,
and is the dream to not be teaching and to be full-time farming, or you feel like there's always going to be a balance between off-farm work and on-farm work?
I think we have an 8-year-old son. And so I think for right now, there's going to have to be a balance until we probably retire within maybe 10, 12 years. And then, I mean, I think the dream is to full-time farm. With our son, it's just going to be a balance right now though.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So let's talk a little bit more about the hoop house, the high tunnel. What kind of crops do you grow in there? You said season extension, so you must be growing during the time that you're also teaching as well.
Yeah, I'm probably one of those weird people. I love to grow in the winter, and I don't, you know, there's less weeds and I have to water less, and I just don't have to maintain it as much. So summer growing for me is actually kind of hard, having a family and trying to get other projects done on the farm. So in the fall and winter, I can keep lettuce and spinach growing all year round. I mean, I actually plant up late October sometimes, and that crop with multiple harvests will keep me going. And like I said, with the last couple of warm winters, I was getting spinach to germinate in November, even December. So it takes a little bit longer, but I mean, it's amazing. Structures are amazing.
And that's in the hoop house. So if people were doing, say, low tunnel hoops or small hoops outside, they didn't have access to a high tunnel, could they still be growing those crops over the winter?
You know, I would imagine. We don't have anything like that outside, so I haven't tried it. But I think if you do it right, you could. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the the advantage of having plastic, you know, on the overall structure. And then inside I'm doing row covers. And on the cold nights, I just double the row covers or use a heavier row cover. And it seems to really do well.
And what is row cover for those that might not know what that is?
It's a cloth and it comes in different, like thicknesses, I guess is the best way to put it. So, and it keeps the frost out. So the thicknesses can be, you know, like 30 degrees or, you know, they can have different temperature ratings on them. So, I actually use them in the summer in there also to help keep the crops cool and to keep the moisture in the ground.
Oh, great. So, and are your crops sold anywhere around the region or outside of the region?
Yeah, I've got to say locally here, people are great because they really understand that, you know, you could have a bug infestation and you might not have spinach this week. So it was real stressful for me to start out with because I felt like, oh, I've got to be able to supply this every week, but everybody's been flexible. So right now I'll sell them down at Cliff Rose. Rick carries them down there. Jude and Addie carry them at Let It Grow. I've sold to Pepperheads, the farm. And then I just sell, you know, locally to friends and stuff too. So.
And is it catch as catch can, or you have a pretty consistent...
The summer for me is a little more challenging, like I said, because we're always about, it feels like we're about 5 weeks behind. Fall and winter, I'm pretty solid. You know, people aren't growing spinach then, and I find that I'm one of the few people that's growing throughout the winter, so it's I have a really good crop.
Great. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We're back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. I'm Sarah Severson, your host, and today we have the pleasure of talking with Angie Sock of Three Dog Night Farm. So, Angie, let's talk about what you're planting right now. What kind of crops are going into the ground right now?
Right now in the hoop house, I just planted up spinach, lettuce, and I'm trying broccoli for the first time in the hoop house. We've got tomatoes that have been, you know, growing all season that are just starting to pop, so that's really awesome in there. That's a great thing to put in the hoop house in the summer, that warm season crop of tomatoes.
And anything planting outside right now?
Tomatoes, tons of cucumbers. I decided to do sweet pumpkins this year. So I have half of my front garden actually with sweet pumpkins that will process up and hopefully freeze some of that. Peppers. We've got a couple of variety of peppers and some spinach and lettuce out front also.
Great. And any big challenges this year in particular in terms of insects or water?
You know, the insects have actually been, mosquitoes have been pretty bad this year, but that doesn't really impact the crops. But just the weeds, I've had a lot of weeds. And so I'm not, you know, more so than normal. So that's always a challenge because you're, with just it being a small family run farm, we don't have any help. So trying to keep up on the weeds and the planting and, you know, the watering, it's just a constant cycle.
And do you use any sort of chemicals or types of fertilizer on the plants?
I don't use any chemicals. I do when I plant, like if I'm buying plants already, you know, started, I will put like some organic, some Happy Frog fertilizer down with the tomatoes and, you know, cucumbers and stuff like that. But I did try and do more startings from seed this year. So it was really just getting some good stuff in the soil and mixing it in before, you know, we planted that. So,
and any suggestions for those that might want to try a fall garden? What sort of things would you suggest for
them? In terms of planting?
Planting or...
In any of your cool weather crops. You know, this is the first time I've tried broccoli so late from seed. And I mean, it's doing well in the hoop house. I was actually surprised. I thought it might be a little warm, but like I said, I think if you're growing outside and you have some row cover, you could try any of the cool weather crops, and I think you'd have pretty good success. You know, you'd want to start getting them in the ground, you know, probably now, though, if you don't have a hoop house.
In the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
And you also have an orchard on your property, is that correct?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that.
We put in about 100 trees, and they weren't that old of trees, so it's kind of slow to start. And had to put up a fence, you know, a nice 6-foot fence. We, within that area, enclosed the chickens free range in there. So we enclosed another area and started a berry garden too. So we just started to get some fruit production last year.
How old are the trees?
They are about probably 5 years old right now, 4 years old. But the deer got in twice this summer. So we have one spot that didn't have the 6-foot fence on, and we didn't have the top of it covered because we have to get in and out with a tractor in there. So they self-pruned for us. So that's a frustration, just, you know, having deer get in, but it's our fault, not theirs. So.
And are they mainly apple trees or different types of fruit?
We did a majority, probably 2/3 is apples, and then we put in some peach, pears, and cherries, and we do get cherries a little more consistently than the peaches. We've had a hard time with the peaches. There's some ants in there, and the aphids get on the peaches, and, you know, they should be able to live through, but we've lost a bunch of peach trees. So it's just a matter of trying to maintain that and get the pests under control.
What's the vision for that orchard? I mean, how many trees did you plant?
It's about 100. Ooh, and, wow. And, you know, we've had die off, but I think initially, we were looking at kind of a U picket. I know back in Wisconsin, our family would always go kind of outside of Madison, and there was a big orchard there, and we would go, you know, pick our own apples and just have that experience as a family, which I think is great for people that don't have the time or don't have the land to have a farm. And that was kind of the thought with the berry patch too, to get that going. Then people could come out on weekends or whenever they had free time and harvest their own food.
Wow. Okay. So, and with the orchard, you said you have some chickens that free range in there. Do you have other farm animals as well?
We don't. We have dogs. We don't right now. We had donkeys and ducks. We've talked about cows. We just don't have really good fencing up right now. We've talked about goats, but I think right now we're just so, we just have so much to do with the actual growing of crops that the animal part of it's just not going to work for us right now.
It's dropped away. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. I'm Sarah Severson, your host, and we're talking with Angie Sock of Three Dog Night Farm today. Angie, let's talk a little bit about water. It's a big issue here in the Southwest. We've been in a drought for the past 13, 14 years now. What type of irrigation system do you have?
We have gated pipe. When we bought the farm, like I said, the farm had been left for about 12 years. And so when we bought the farm, it was all open ditch, and we did not have our son at that point either. So I was just out there constantly, you know, while we were trying to make plans on renovating the house, just to try and even get water to flow because there hadn't been any water on the property. And so I quickly realized that that was not going to work, that there's no way we could have open ditch for 13 acres with us working full time and all of that. So we were fortunate enough through NRCS to apply for gated pipe. And so that took probably about 4 years to get all of the gated pipe in, 4 or 5 years.
And explain to folks what that might not know what that is, what gated pipe is.
The gated pipe is when you're driving around the county and you see the big white pipe with the black gates on shooting water out. That's what the gated pipe is. People will do like overhead sprinklers. There's different varieties. We are close to the head gate and there's not a lot of fall on our property, so we don't have pressure to run overhead stuff. So that's why we have to do the gated pipe.
Okay. And did you do irrigation work when you were a child in Wisconsin, or a husband had done some of that?
Oh gosh, no, because it rains there all the time. So this,
there's no gated pipe in Wisconsin.
There's nothing
is there?
Like that at all. So this, it's really been a learning experience for both of us. You know, just trying to get the right amount of water, and we're still learning. And NRCS has been great because they do come out every year if you need them and help with soil testing and, you know, trying to figure out exactly how to get, you know, more water to certain spots and stuff like that. So they have been a big help.
Does the drought conditions in Southwest Colorado, does that concern you?
You know, it does. I think it would be really concerning too if this were our full-time, you know, job that, you know, everything depended on this. We're fortunate right now that it's not. It does. We try to conserve water as much as we can. You know, we teach our son, you know, he's real good about, he'll tell us, turn that off, you're wasting water. So, I mean, I think everybody needs to be aware in this area that, you know, we're very fortunate to have the water that we do. But yeah, it, you know, in a bad year, it could be real concerning if you don't have that extended season. So
how do you water in the vegetable garden?
The front garden?
Mm-hmm.
That is a mixture of irrigation water and house water, just depending. My husband just, he's going to laugh, we just trenched some more pipe and he backfilled it last night. So I have extra hose bibs to use for the irrigation water now. So we're trying to wean off all of the house water from the front. But front, I just didn't have access down there until yesterday, so that'll be good.
And how about in the high tunnel?
The high tunnel, we use irrigation water. Mm-hmm. And then in the winter, we use house water. So he, again, just put, we were we had to hook up to the house, which is a couple hundred feet from the high tunnel, and drag hose all winter and try to make sure it didn't freeze. And I mean, you can just imagine when you're working, there's problems with that. So he just finished a big trench and put electricity and house water out to the high tunnel. So I've got really good pressure out there and electricity to run pumps for irrigation water now. So,
and are you doing a sprinkler system out there in the high tunnel?
I will have one now that I've got the water pressure. So I've got all the tubing out there. It's just a matter of getting some time and, you know, trying to get that to work. So I'm hoping.
And tubing, is that meaning a sprinkler or a drip irrigation?
It's a drip irrigation. So it's the 1-inch drip with some emitters off of it. So that'll be really nice. It'll be more, way more efficient than trying to hand water.
Okay. Great. Fantastic. Well, sounds like you have a lot going on out there. Let's talk a little bit about GMO crops or GMO seed. That's a big topic in terms of farming and agriculture. Do you use GMO seed or genetically modified seed?
I do not. Not at all.
And why do you make that choice?
I just don't want to mess with it. I mean, I could get into the whole political ramifications, you know, and all that with Monsanto and stuff like that. I just don't agree with it. So we try and do as much organic that we can.
Yeah. Okay, great. Looks like we've got to wrap up. Angie, thanks so much for coming into the studio. If people want more information about Three Dog Night Farm, how can they contact you?
ThreeDogNightFarm@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for all that you do in the community in terms of teaching and farming.
Thank you.
Great. Well, that's been another edition of the Big Fat Farm Show. Listen in 2 weeks on August 19th for the next edition. We'll see you real soon. Thanks so much.